Now, who found her?
I guess the security guard. That's what I was told, is the security guard came around the corner and he seen dangling feet and he ran to call the police. And that I don't understand, because my daughter's feet was only 3 feet off the ground. So what, was he 2 feet tall? Because I've been out there, you came around the corner, you see the whole body. So I have a problem with that. I have a problem that he said he ran to call the police, but yet you have time to take a picture of my daughter hanging there. So that didn't make sense to me.
So this security guard sees her, and then he calls the police, and the police come. What happens when the police get there?
The fire department cut the body down. The investigator coroner, she didn't get there an hour till after the body was already being removed. She asked no questions. And then in the police report where it says that, you know how they say there was no body when the security walked by, and then an hour later there was a body. And then on the coroner investigator report, the same thing, but there's a 10-20 minute difference in the times. So the police report states my daughter was hanging above her apartment, but yet the coroner, her apartment was 131A. The coroner investigator report says she was found hanging in between apartment 132A, 133A in a courtyard. All of this don't make sense. The police report says the backpack was by the knot that she tied, but yet the coroner investigator report says the backpack was on the stairs.
So the coroner ruled this was a suicide.
Right, and I've had people, professionals, read the autopsy, and they're like, I'm sorry, I don't mean to laugh, but this is laughable. They was like, they said this was hanging by suicide. There's nothing in the end of the case of hanging. And the autopsy report is crazy.
Did she have a broken neck?
No, there was no damage to her neck, inside or out. There was no damage.
Yeah, from what I understand, when you hang yourself, you typically, I don't know if it's typical, but I thought that people usually, it breaks their neck when they do that.
Right. They tried to tell me they couldn't tell if she defecated on herself because of the pants she was wearing. Everybody believes murder on the evidence, and everybody believes this case is like totally botched.
Welcome to the Catch My Killer podcast. Thank you for listening. My name is Mark. Since 2015, I've been writing a weekly column for the Claremont Sun newspaper in Ohio. I've covered unsolved homicides and true crime. Before we begin this week's story, I would like to ask for your support. To help support this podcast, I'm asking listeners to buy me a $5 cup of coffee every month. This will help cover the costs associated with creating this podcast. If you would like to help, please visit catchmykiller.com and click on the donate link or the buy me a coffee link. Even if you cannot buy me a cup of coffee, you can still help me by sharing these stories with your friends and family through word of mouth and social media. And that's enough of the coffee business. This week's story involves a 22-year-old woman from Flint, Michigan, named Aaliyah Nicole Wilson. During the early morning hours of July 19th, 2020, Aaliyah was found deceased at her village of Piney Point apartment in Houston, Texas. Her death was immediately ruled a suicide by hanging. Aaliyah's family disagrees with the ruling and believes her body was staged to look like a suicide. An injury to the hyoid bone or a broken neck may occur in a hanging. However, Aaliyah's neck was not broken. One of the troubling issues about this case is that Aaliyah's backpack and slide-on shoes were found on the staircase. This meant that Aaliyah would have walked barefoot from the stairwell to her apartment, yet the bottom of her feet were clean. Dirt should have been on the bottom of her feet. Aaliyah's mother, Denise, was shown a demonstration in which a person walked up the stairs barefoot and then entered Aaliyah's apartment. The woman had dirt on the bottoms of her feet because the staircase was so dirty. Additionally, Aaliyah had made plans with her mother to return home to Michigan. A few days later, she was found dead. Why would someone who was so eager to return home choose to end their life a few days before returning home? Aaliyah's clothing and belongings were also missing from her apartment. People who commit suicide sometimes give away their property, but Aaliyah did not do that. With that being said, what happened to her property? Was it possible that someone else was in Aaliyah's apartment when she died? It's a possibility. Aaliyah was also involved in an abusive relationship with another woman. Aaliyah's mother told me that the police were called to her apartment several times for domestic violence. Aaliyah had told her mother and friends that she was fearful of her ex. According to Aaliyah's mother, there was never an investigation into Aaliyah's death because it was immediately ruled a suicide. Was her death dismissed because she was a poor black woman? That's what her mother seems to think. Her goal is to get authorities in Houston to re-examine Aaliyah's case as a possible homicide. For this week's story, I spoke to Denise McClendon, who is Aaliyah's mother. She has asked me to help share her daughter's story in hopes that someone will hear it and take action.
I didn't really raise her because at 13, she had wanted a foster home. She didn't want to live with me because I was disabled and I could always watch everything she does. And she wanted to live in a foster home because the foster parents would work and she could do what she wanted to do. She came back at 17, and I lived also in Texas for 10 years, and then she loved it so much there because it's a big city and there's stuff to do. So she wanted to stay, but she was 3 days before she died, she posted online, F Texas, F my apartment, I'm going back to Michigan. And I talked to her, and we were making plans for her to come home, and then 3 days later, she's dead. She died July 19, 2020. I found out on July 22nd, and what I found out is I woke up to a text message from the ex-girlfriend that your daughter has died. So my husband called the police, and the police said she hung herself with her fitted sheet, and she left no note, and that's all they told us. And then the coroner called and gave us more information. They said that my daughter came out of her apartment with some Nike slide-on shoes and a backpack and set those on the stairs. She walked upstairs barefooted, but there was no dirt on her feet. Her apartment door was locked. There's a lot of aspects to this case, like when I went to my daughter's apartment, she lived there for a year and just gone to court, but there was no piece of paper or receipt in her apartment. But I did find a garbage bag of some wet towels, and I asked police if they want them, and they told me no. What for? So I didn't grab them because I didn't want them to smell on me. And then the police called me 2 days later and told me that this ex-girlfriend had busted one of my daughter's windows. And I went back over there to see about the wet towels. And those were gone along with all her bras and panties. And I just have, from day one, the ex-girlfriend asked me, do I have information on a supposed suicide? I received a message in Messenger in October 2020, and I just found out about these messages. Somebody that has a fake name left me a message and told me they wanted to tell me about my daughter's murder and to call them. And I didn't call them because I couldn't get a hold of them. They hadn't been on Facebook for about a year.
Let me ask you a couple questions. Where's home for Aaliyah?
To Michigan.
So how did she end up in Texas?
Because I moved there and had lived there 10 years. And then when I came back to Michigan, she did not want to return because Houston is a big city and there's lots of things to do. So, and she was young, so she wanted to remain in Texas and party and have fun.
And how old was she at the time?
And when I returned back to Michigan, I would say she was around 19.
And you said that she was living in foster care? That wasn't in Texas, though, was it?
Yes, it was. Up until she was like from 13 to 17.
So was she unruly?
She was. She has like felonious assault on a police officer. As soon as she turned 13, she was unruly because she could refuse to do schoolwork and she could just refuse and that I couldn't do anything about it. and she knew how to get put into a foster home, and that's what she did. She was bipolar. I did find that out. I took her and got her help. She had a journal. She would draw. She would sing. So she had dealt with bipolarness, but...
Was Leah your only child? How many children do you have?
I have three other children besides Leah.
And Leah is the oldest?
Yes. The other children are 10 and 8, so there's a big age gap.
Was she close to her siblings?
I would say not really. She'd call and my other children would talk to her about the boys and stuff. And she always called. She loved them. She always wanted pictures of them. She posted that she was excited to come home and see her siblings. But I would say she didn't know them like that because she knew my oldest, Imani, that is 10. She would do her hair and stuff. She knew her about, she was about 6, up until about 6. But the twins, my twins were like 2 years old, so she didn't really know them. But she loved them, and she talked to them on the phone and stuff and wanted tons of pictures of them.
What did she do in Texas? Did she go to college? Was she a student?
She didn't have the job. She ended up going to a shelter because she knew the shelter would help her get a place. So, in which they did. That's the place that my daughter was murdered at. She ended up, they paid for an apartment for a year. And her lease would have been up July 31st also. She went to the shelter also because I have statements from the friends that were at the shelter with her. They stated that the reason why she left the shelter was the ex-girlfriend. And they named the ex-girlfriend's name. And they said my daughter was there because of the ex-girlfriend because she was trying to hide. And that she was scared of her.
So Aaliyah left the shelter because she was afraid of her ex-girlfriend. So the shelter put her up in this apartment for a year.
Mm-hmm.
Were there any specific requirements that she had to meet to get the apartment? Or
just be homeless. And then within that year's time that they paid for it, she was required to get a job.
And did she work?
She did every now and then. She did odd jobs. Like she worked at Walmart for a minute. She would work like at places like that for a minute. She worked at a cash store, but she would only work there for maybe a couple of months.
Now, when she lived in the apartment, did the ex-girlfriend find her?
Yes, the ex-girlfriend lives with her. The ex-girlfriend has stated that her DNA is not at the scene. But yet, we have witnesses that the ex-girlfriend lived there. My daughter's made statements about the ex living there. My daughter's next-door neighbor said that his walls used to shake. He came outside one day and seen my daughter, Abilevi, on the stoop talking about the police. Called the police, were called to my daughter's apartment 10 times within the year. So I have statements of my daughter talking about that she put up with the abuse for 2 years from this ex and other statements where she's talking about the abuse. And the police tried to use the one statement against my daughter because I was so distraught I didn't really wasn't able to point out. But in the statement where she's saying she had wrote a statement that the ex was abusing her and stuff, and she said no. She said something like, mind you, I made a subtle plan to hang myself without informing anyone last night. And then at the bottom, she said, I woke up. And that's part of her bipolarness. She was taught to write her feelings down, and she was writing her feelings down. She said, last night. And then she said, I woke up. But the act, everything about her mental state, where she'd been in her past, that she had prostituted in her past before, the ex knew all of this, and she used it against my daughter.
Now, I'm surprised that the shelter didn't evict your daughter for allowing her partner to stay there. Wouldn't that be a rule that you're not allowed to have an abusive ex or partner to stay there?
I'm not sure. I would imagine nobody was allowed to stay there. And if that was the case, she wouldn't have told him. She would have just had the girl there.
When was the last time that you spoke to Aaliyah?
3 days before she died.
What did you discuss?
We discussed her coming home, and we were trying to see how she was going to hear the train, the plane, and where the money was going to come from.
What was the plan?
The plan was for her to catch a train, and I was going to ask her grandfather for some of the money. And her grandfather, I hadn't spoken to him in 18 years, but I was willing to speak to him to try to get some friends to help me out to get a home.
What was Aaliyah's mood on that day when you spoke to her? Was she happy? Was she sad? Was she scared?
She was always happy. One of her friends that was in the shelter because she had been raped and ended up pregnant. And she said, Aaliyah is the only one that brought her out of her shell. Aaliyah had a good heart. She was always happy. And they had a personal diary together that she's going to try to find for me. It was between her and Aaliyah made a statement there. She does have depression, but she didn't want to kill herself.
From what I understand, when it comes to suicide, usually if somebody does it, they've attempted it before unsuccessfully.
Right. And the police were trying to use that because I guess in 2018, she had took some pills. And they said she tried to OD on pills. And so they used that and they said she was suicidal. But that was in 2018. And I myself took a bottle of pills, not because I wanted to kill myself. I wanted attention. And that was my daughter. She wanted attention.
Was there a note? Did she leave a video or anything behind?
No, but when she was younger, she would run away. She always left a note.
Yeah, I know people will make a video or they'll leave a note.
Right.
Telling their family why they decided to end their life. So you're expecting your child to come home and all of a sudden you get this message that she's deceased.
Yes.
You must have been shocked.
Yeah, I couldn't breathe because I woke up to that and the first thing I read, I just couldn't believe it. I just talked to her. And I'm not going to lie. Yes, I did believe suicide because that's what authorities told me. Then when I get all this other evidence, it's like, wait a minute, she didn't kill herself. And I knew that immediately.
Well, it would seem strange that she's making a plan to move back home to be with her mom. And then all of a sudden, she kills herself.
And if they only would have questioned her friends that lived right there in Texas and that knew her and knew about her demeanor that day, they would know that they should have questioned the ex because the ex, they were saying that the ex wanted to kill my daughter. I got statements of this, that if my daughter ever left her, the ex was going to kill her. I got statements. I had voice clippings where I told the ex, because I tried to be friendly with the ex at first so I could get information. So I told the ex, I didn't know I had to protect my daughter from you. Then she says my daughter went out with a bang.
Now, who found her?
I guess the security guard. That's what I was told, is the security guard came around the corner and he seen dangling feet and he ran to call the police. And that I don't understand because my daughter's feet was only 3 feet off the ground. So what, was he 2 feet tall? Because I've been out there, you came around the corner, you see the whole body. So I have a problem with that. I have a problem that he said he ran to call the police, but yet you have time to take a picture of my daughter hanging there. So that didn't make sense to me.
So this security guard sees her, and then he calls the police, and the police come. What happens when the police get there?
The fire department cuts the body down. The investigator coroner, she didn't get there an hour till after the body was already being removed. She asked no questions. And then in the police report where it says that, you know how they say there was no body when the security walked by and then an hour later there was a body. The coroner investigator report the same thing, but there's a 10-20 minute difference in the times. So the police report states my daughter was hanging above her apartment, but yet the coroner, her apartment was 131A. The coroner investigator report says she was found hanging in between apartment 132A, 133A in a courtyard. All of this don't make sense. The police report says the backpack was by the knot that she tied, but yet the coroner investigator report says the backpack was on the stairs.
So the coroner ruled this was a suicide.
Right, and I've had people, professionals, read the autopsy, and they're like, I'm sorry, I don't mean to laugh, but this is laughable. They was like, they said this was hanging by suicide. There's nothing in the end of the case of hanging. And the autopsy report is crazy.
Did she have a broken neck?
No, there was no damage to her neck, inside or out. There was no damage.
Yeah, from what I understand, when you hang yourself, you typically, I don't know if it's typical, but I thought that people usually, it breaks their neck when they do that.
Right. They tried to tell me they couldn't tell if she defecated on herself. Because of the pants she was wearing, everybody believes murder on the evidence, and everybody believes this case is like totally botched.
So what time did this happen on that evening?
The police report says it happened at 4:30 in the morning, like a Saturday, Sunday.
Did any of the neighbors hear anything? Did they hear any arguing? Did they hear anything slamming up against the walls, door, somebody beating on the doors, anything like that?
They weren't even questioned. Nobody was questioned to see if they heard anything. They immediately looked and said suicide. Homicide didn't even go to the scene that night. Homicide stated they would not make the scene. When I went to the police last year in August, I took them the statement that the ex wrote, "I know for a fact you hurt your daughter," because they were saying it's suicide. So I'm like, oh, they're going to open the case. When I took it to them, they told me, yes, we know the ex-girlfriend was toxic. I said, okay, why didn't you question nobody then? They came back and told me because nobody was on the scene. Who's going to stick around if they murder somebody?
So when they got there, then are you telling me the ex-girlfriend was not at the apartment? There was nobody there.
They said there was nobody there. I don't even know who called the ambulance. I don't really know because I don't have the information. I know what the police report says, but I don't have the actual tape or anything on it. And I heard it was more people like friends that were involved. We just had a protest in front of the police station, and who the police sent out to talk to us, because there was five families out there, because there's a lot of unsolved stuff in Houston they're not investigating. And they sent out the assistant chief of Homeland Security to talk to us.
And what did he say?
Oh, he promised to look into it and call. And but I knew he wasn't. After I got through talking to him, I was like, well, he dismissed when I was talking to him. He wasn't really interested in what I was saying.
Sounds like they just ruled it a suicide immediately without really investigating.
That's exactly how it went. They didn't investigate nothing. They questioned no one. Like I said, I got statements of the friend saying the ex abused my daughter, the ex threatened to kill my daughter, the ex pulled a gun out on him. Like my daughter, I have a statement from my daughter where she texted somebody and she, one of her friends, and was asking them about buying a gun. And she wanted to spend $170 to $180 on this gun. And that was 30 days before my daughter died. She had feared for her life.
Did she ever purchase a gun?
No, not that I know of. She wasn't able to purchase it.
What did the apartment look like?
It was like, it's a bad area because it's paid for by a shelter. So yeah, it's a bad area. One girl that I know that lives out there, she just recently moved out there and found out that's where my daughter was found at. But she said they've had at least three murders within a month that she has lived there, and she had to find out about it on her own. The apartment complex didn't even let people know.
No, I meant inside the apartment. When the medical staff went inside the apartment, during a struggle, you're going to see signs of a struggle. You're going to see stuff turned over, the apartment tore up.
The police report states my daughter's apartment was neat and tidy. I have pictures of it ransacked. The ex sent me pictures before I got to Texas and asked me what would I like, and it was ransacked. And they stole everything of my daughter's, all her clothing. Like in their closet, she only had two coats hanging up. I have a picture of her closet. There's nothing hanging up. My daughter dressed very well, wore nice shoes and stuff. All those were gone. And the only clothing in her apartment was only a couple of pairs of stretch pants and t-shirts. All the rest of her clothing was gone.
So you're telling me she commits suicide, allegedly, but all of her stuff is gone. Now, I do know that when people do commit suicide, legitimately, they really do commit suicide. A lot of times, they will give their property away if they know. They'll give their money away, they'll give their clothes, they'll give their property away if they know they are really going to commit suicide. Did you hear from any friends that Aaliyah was giving away stuff?
No. And one of the friends said, one of the ones that I think has something to do with it, said that she had my daughter's journal, because I have a picture of it, but it's missing. Then she has my journal, my daughter's journal. I said, I'm going to have to get that from you. And she was like, oh, I'm at work till 7 o'clock the next morning. And it was like, well, I ain't know anybody to ever work that long. Now when I talk to her, she claims she don't have the journal. I have this ex making a statement that this girl doesn't have the journal. And then I have a statement where she's saying the girl does have the journal. So, and then she's saying the girl had the journal because Aaliyah wanted her to have it. And no, Aaliyah didn't say that. And Aaliyah wouldn't have wanted her to have it, a journal, but no.
Okay, so she wasn't giving anything away. Then that would be strange that she's found dead and she's missing her personal property. So that tells me that there was probably somebody in the apartment with her that could have taken her stuff.
Right. Well, the girl that had the journal, she used to live with them. My daughter had called me and told me, "Mom, they're mooching off me. How do I get them out of my house?" And she ended up putting this girl out of her apartment, but the girl kept the house keys for months. And so she had a key to enter the building, but she wasn't on the lease or anything to take anything out of that apartment. And I can plainly see the journal sent on my daughter's bed. And if you blow the picture up, I can see a food stamp card. My daughter had just gotten food stamps. That card was gone.
All of her stuff was there, and she was found deceased. That's one thing, but all of her stuff is gone. Her personal belongings are gone, so it means somebody took that stuff.
She was found deceased with the apartment door was locked. Who's going to think about killing themselves and be like, "Oh, let me lock my apartment door"? And then the backpack, it contained a cell phone, fully charged. It took 3 months for these ear pods to die. So she discharged her ear pods. She had a cell phone, ear pods, a pack of cigarettes, house keys, identification. And then in the front zipper part, which the police did not check, there was two tubes of lipstick in that front part. So, and then the pack of cigarettes, I know it's not a big deal. It's just cigarettes. Those ended up missing. And when I questioned the police about them, they told me that, "Oh, we marked them as separate evidence." Well, it should state that, to me, it should state that on the police report. And on the police report, it says the contents of my daughter's backpack, those cigarettes were part of the contents. It didn't say it. They marked them as separate evidence. I never got the cigarette.
So tell me about when you found out that this was ruled a suicide. You said that you initially believed it.
Yes, because that's what I was told. And I know she was bipolar, and that's what I was told. So, you know, you believe the police. You believe authorities. That's what they say.
How long did it take for you to believe that your daughter was murdered and that it was not a suicide?
I guess a few hours later, because that night I was like, "No, she didn't do this." When I started finding out all this evidence, there's so many pieces of this case, it's ridiculous. This one girl, what made us really get to digging about trying to find this evidence is she posted on the 19th when my daughter died, she posted, "Rest in peace, Aaliyah." And then 15 minutes later, she posted that she was looking for my daughter. And it was like, just said Aaliyah was dead. Now, if you go to this girl's page and you scroll to the 19th, she has erased that. But I have screenshots of it. She has since erased everything off the 19th. And she, like, posts every 5 minutes. But the 19th, everything's erased. There's no post. And it's that way on another girl's page, too.
You're looking at the possibility that there's more than one person involved. And that there's probably a few people that know what actually happened to your daughter.
Right.
So do you think that somebody took your daughter and actually put that sheet or whatever around her neck and somebody pushed her off? And that she was fighting?
I don't know exactly how he did this to my daughter, but what I believe is because I found a grocery bag in my daughter's apartment with some chips in it. She was about to eat her some chips, and she was at home relaxing. And these girls, I believe they came over to my daughter's apartment, and she knew them and wouldn't think that they would hurt her or anything like that. And she left with them, and that's why her apartment door is locked. Then I believe that she took her to one of the girls' houses, and I don't know if they choked her or what they did, suffocated her, I don't know, but they killed her. She was dead for a minute, and they ended up putting her body in a car, transporting her back to her apartment. They carried her up the stairs, that's why there is no dirt on her feet, and they hung her. The knot is tied special.
Okay, so just to clarify, I want to make sure I got this straight. The picture that you sent me of Aaliyah hanging with the phone in her hand, that picture wasn't the original picture taken by the security guard, and then somebody from the Black Panthers organization took a picture off of the security guard's cell phone. And that's the picture you have.
The Black Panthers were involved at the beginning. I have a video of a candlelight they did. And they said that they were going to investigate this as murder and that it was a special knot tie that they couldn't tie that knot. They said they find it very strange that the apartment complex took down the body so quickly without anybody ever knowing it. And like the apartment complex, when the police said that the ex busted out one of my daughter's windows when she was dead, I begged that apartment complex to file vandalism charges because that's the police said that's the only way they can do anything is if the apartment complex files vandalism charges. They refused. They refused. Even though they said they told me they thought it was foul play.
So basically, you think it was some kind of a staged scene. I also wanted to mention that in some cases, when somebody is hanged, their neck is broken. And you're saying that Aaliyah's wasn't. I don't know statistics about that, but that's just another thing that you could look at to support that maybe she didn't hang herself.
Yes, the picture that there, and she would look like herself, too, on top of that, because I had a friend, before I could even say no, send me a picture of her son that was hanging. And her son, it looked like a dead person, but he was a Black guy. He had his skin tone still. And his cheeks were shrunken a little bit, so you could tell that he was dead, but he still had his color. My daughter is ghostly white. I wasn't allowed to identify her body. I had gone to the coroner's office, and they turned me away and told me I couldn't come go in the building. And I told them I was there to identify my daughter's body, and they said no.
Sounds to me like there's a possibility that she was already deceased before she was hanged.
Yep, that's why she's holding a cell phone in her hand. When I've had people see this cell phone in my daughter's hand because I have shared the picture and they see the cell phone in their hand.
Can you tell me what is significant about that cell phone?
The significance is the coroner nor the police have the picture of my daughter holding the cell phone in their hand. I have that picture. So the significance is somebody took that cell phone out of her hand before the police got there.
Now, I would like to go back to the knot that was tied in the bedding that was wrapped around Aaliyah's neck. You said that it wasn't a common knot, but one that had to have been tied by somebody that possibly had prior military experience or someone who worked on a ship or a boat that knew how to tie that type of knot. So you're saying that Aaliyah, that's another questionable part of this. She wouldn't have known how to tie that knot. Can you tell me a little bit more about that? By chance, were you able to obtain any pictures of that knot?
I don't believe they took the picture of the knot, but it was told to me that it was tied very loosely and that you had to have knowledge of tying that kind of knot. Because it was like you had to be a sailor or something or work in the Navy. You had to have knowledge of the way you tie that knot. And then with my daughter, the significance to a phone and a cell phone is that right there proves that she was dead before they hung her. Because if she hung herself, how would she do that with her left hand holding the cell phone? She would have dropped that cell phone.
Right. But when I looked at the picture, I really couldn't see the phone. I guess I'd have to make it larger. But you're right. If she was dead, she could not be holding that cell phone. She would have dropped it.
Right.
Somebody put it in her hand. That's how I see it.
She lived on her phone. She loved her phone. She lived on her phone. She was always getting the newest Apple phone. So maybe that phone was in her hand because they didn't know she had the phone in her hand. She didn't have time to call anybody and she was holding on to the phone. Because, yeah, she would have told somebody, kill me before she gives up that phone. She wasn't giving up that phone. And I think they might have realized, like, oop, we forgot the phone's in her hand. They took the phone out and stuck it in her backpack. And there's no way she could have done it because it was in her right hand. She's right-handed. The phone's in her right hand. She used her left hand to tie this master knot. And even if they're saying that she could have eased on down the balcony to hang herself, my problem with that is what about your natural human body reaction is the fight or flight? I don't care if she would have been knocked unconscious from easing down after 30 seconds. What about that 30 seconds of her hitting? Her head is right there by the cement balcony walkway. So, and there was no damage. to her head at all, no bruising. And then when we did the protest, I had there's this high creator lady off of TikTok who did the protest, and we went to the scene. We went to my daughter's apartment, and she reenacted everything except for hanging herself, of course. So she took her shoes and socks off, walked upstairs. She stood on the balcony in the railing where the knot was tied. For one, she had a bunch of dirt on her feet. Two, she was only 80 pounds. She stood on that railing, and that railing bounced back and forth, up and down. There was no way that railing would have snapped. It would not have held a 150-pound girl.
That makes sense. Now, did you have a discussion with the police department? Everything you're telling me, did you share this with them also, or did you attempt to?
I attempted to when I went there in August. They tried to say in the police report that I showed them random screenshots. No, I didn't show them random screenshot. I know what a random screenshot is. A random screenshot is somebody else's post that you take. But that's a random screenshot. No, I actually had messages, text messages, and actual posts that they wrote. But the police were not interested in it. The police told me that this was suicide. It's going to remain suicide. It don't matter what evidence I have. The only evidence that they want is they want the ex to come in and to confess to this crime.
I just did this week's podcast. This young man was killed, and the police ruled it a suicide immediately. The mother didn't believe it, and she challenged it. What she did was she hired another pathologist to look at the autopsy and make a decision. And this private one that she hired said he was murdered. The original ruling was he put the gun up to his head, pulled the trigger. But the second autopsy, the pathologist said, no, the shot was from several feet away. The gun wasn't fired up against his head. So she challenged it, and they had a coroner's inquest, and they had a jury. The jury heard the evidence. The jury overruled the suicide and called it a murder.
I would love to do that. My only problem is funds. I don't have the funds to do that. I did call to see about, like, in Michigan, the autopsy dude here reading the autopsy and looking at pictures and everything because my daughter's screaming. And he charges $400 an hour, and he requires, like, 3 hours. It was, like, $1,000 or something, or $1,200. And it's like, for that, I might as well try to save that up and get a PI.
You could always try GoFundMe if you haven't already done it.
I have, and nobody donates. For the protest, I spent $350 on T-shirt, on a plane ticket. I'm going back down there on July 19th. I'm going back down to Houston to have another protest. I had to spend another $300-some on a plane ticket. So I'm spending my own money on this.
Have you tried contacting the NCAAP to see if perhaps they could give you some guidance on this?
I've contacted everybody, Nancy Grace, Dr. Phil, anybody, FBI. Congress told me, because I got over 15,000 signatures on a petition, and Congress told me they don't care if I have a million. Everywhere I turn, nobody calls me back, I get shut down, or I get referred back to homicide, and they're the ones that are telling me it's going to stay suicide.
Yeah, you have an uphill battle. I also did another podcast where I don't know if you've heard of this case, but have you heard of the Ellen Greenberg story?
No, I have not.
Ellen Greenberg was a school teacher in Philadelphia, and Ellen was found stabbed 20 times in the back of her head, back of her neck, and in her back. And do you know what they ruled that?
Suicide.
Absolutely. You tell me how it is possible for somebody to take a knife and stab themselves in the back of the head, in their neck, 20 times. I can't even reach my arm back there. And you wouldn't be able to do it because the pain would be so overwhelming, you would probably go into shock. But her parents have been fighting for years. They finally sued the coroner's office. And so they've already been in front of a judge, but the judge hasn't made a decision because they want it changed from a suicide to a homicide. You really do have an uphill battle, but you know what? It sounds to me like it's worth it. This was your firstborn, and so you're going to have to try everything you can to get somebody to listen. Now, have you tried talking to the press? your local newspapers?
My local news tells me it's out their jurisdiction.
Well, in Texas. Yeah, Texas. Have you contacted them?
Yes, and they will not contact me back.
I would think that they'd be interested in doing a story on this.
Right. It seems like they would. Like, a little AJ, right? You heard of that case?
Right. I did a podcast on his story. Yeah. I interviewed his uncle.
Right. Uncle Paul, he has inside information that not to talk bad about HPD. They basically cover, if HPD tells them they can't cover it, they can't cover it. And I tell them, and they seem very interested in the story, but then they never call me back. I have felt that they have got my daughter's case number when I give it to them, that they call the police, and the police tell them, pay me no mind, do not do it, because they don't get back in touch with me, but they sound very interested that they won't get back in touch with me.
Regarding the ex, I'm assuming that she has a criminal record, past of physical violence and that type of thing.
Right, yes.
You know, and I would think that would interest them, because if your daughter was a victim of domestic violence, I mean, that should mean something.
Right. And then on Facebook, she made her a silhouette face and posted, my daughter is better than a doorknob. The world is better off with my daughter dead. I have screenshots where she's laughing at stuff I post. She reports it on my TikTok, and I'm doing a live or whatever. She reports every single video. She reported and said I was suicidal. So I got on the news where, and all that was saying was nice things about my daughter, and because it was edited, and she reported that video. She reports every video. If friends do videos about Aaliyah, she reports their videos.
Unfortunately, it sounds like you have been on a terrible journey to try to figure out what exactly happened to your daughter. And I know I said earlier that you have an uphill battle, and I know you probably already know that. And I'm sure that you're prepared for it, because this was your firstborn child. And it sounds to me like you're definitely on the right path to try to understand why your daughter is no longer here. And I certainly commend you for it.
The last question that I would have for you this evening is, for anyone that's out there listening to this, if they know anything about what happened to Aaliyah, what would you say to that person or persons?
That I would give them a reward up to $1,000. I know somebody's going to talk eventually one day, because we've got to have a heart. There's got to be some kind of humanness in everybody. It's in everybody. It's England or something. They got to say something, the guilt.
And that concludes the story of Aaliyah Wilson. Did she actually commit suicide, or was she murdered? Her mother has no reason to believe that her daughter would kill herself. She had planned to return to Michigan and restart her life, but she never had the chance. Can you help this family get justice for Aaliyah? She was a daughter, sister, and friend. If she was murdered, she deserves justice. If you know anything about Aaliyah's death, please reach out to Houston PD by calling them at 713-308-3600 or 713-308-3946. And if you would like to know more about this case, please visit the Justice for Aaliyah Facebook page. I will also provide this information in the story notes. And if you are a parent, law enforcement official, friend, or relative seeking justice for an unsolved homicide case, please visit my website and complete the contact form. You can also contact me through Facebook. Thank you for listening.